Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today from Luke 1, the angel Gabriel said, Elizabeth, your relative is 6 months pregnant with a son in her old age. People said she couldn't have a child, but nothing is impossible for God. And Mary said, Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Dear friends of Christ, Paul McCartney sang these words about the Virgin Mary. When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she's standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Well, of course, the Blessed Mother Mary is not God, and she can't stand right in front of us. And yet, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, can we learn something about the Virgin Mary from the Beatles song to unpack all this good news? Well, for now, let's just say nothing is impossible with God. Mary found out that she was going to give birth to a baby, and this would be God's son. And her response wasn't flippant, disrespectful. Okay, whatever. You know, just let it be. No, it was respectful. And it let it be to me according to your word. Now, that's a perfect answer. Let it be to me as you'd have it. Let it be to me according to your word. Those are important words that we should plaster on our homes. Let it be to me your way, God, not my way. And of course, that's because those are faith words. I'm going to trust in you, God. Your ways are better than my ways. Your thoughts are better than my thoughts. The angel Gabriel came and had that incredible message, of course. And the promised Messiah, finally, after all these years of waiting, was coming into the world to save the world through a womb. And it was going to be her womb. Mary's response to all that will serve as our theme, let it be. The fuller answer, of course, let it be to me according to your word. So let's back up. Because as we learn in the story, her cousin Elizabeth was also 6 months pregnant. So 6 months into her pregnancy, Mary's cousin Elizabeth had been told that she'd have a baby because she was old and her womb was dried up. And Zechariah was in the temple as a priest, and God sent angel Gabriel to tell Zechariah, your wife's going to have a baby. And John the Baptist, of course, is in Elizabeth's tummy now, 6 months old and waiting to be born. And the angel Gabriel then so visited both of them, Mary and Elizabeth. Two miraculous births. Elizabeth's birth out of a sterile womb. Mary's birth out of a virgin womb. And indeed, as they looked at all that, the two miraculous births, God, and then the response is, nothing is impossible with God. He can do anything. He can even put God in human flesh. God can become like us. What a miracle. Throughout the Old Testament, God had promised He'd send this gift of love. This gift of love was going to come. And the Messiah waited and waited and waited. And finally, the time is here to deliver the world. And God has to flesh it all out. And I mean literally flesh it all out. Because we have a problem, we in human flesh. There's suffering and there's sickness and there's pain and there's death. We're cursed. The human flesh and blood cursed. Under the curse of pain and darkness. Human people. So God has to flesh all that out. How is He going to work it out? And God has a plan. Our flesh condemns us, and God had to flesh it out, so He sent human flesh to save sinful flesh. Makes sense why God had to do it. It was the only solution. And so the angel Gabriel tells us how God was fleshing it all out when He showed up to Mary. He appeared to Mary and said, Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. The old Latin Bible says it in a more familiar way, Hail Mary, Mother full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Of course, God chose Mary. Of all the women in the world, of all the women in history, God chose her. Now, she didn't deserve that honor. There was nothing special about Mary that set her above other women. It's just simply she was chosen. And she was passive in all that. She didn't make herself get pregnant. She did nothing to conceive. God just simply used her as a vessel to carry the Son of God, to carry the body of Christ. Mary was highly favored. We just sang that in the song, Most Highly Favored Lady. And she was favored not because she was sinless. She was favored because she was chosen. Because God had chosen her to bring the Savior into the world. Another word for highly favored, grace. Mary was chosen by grace to be the mother of Jesus. You and I are chosen. Do you understand that? We're chosen by grace. We're highly favored too. The highly favored ones of God, because Christ has come in His body to save you. And you are the body of Christ. What an incredible miracle. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, there's a lot going on in our text, and it's easy to zip right past the three miracles that are there. The first miracle we've already spoken of, the virgin birth. Now, that's a huge miracle. How does God, number one, become like us, the God of the universe? The Holy Spirit comes and conceives somehow in the virgin a life and places an embryo of human life there in her womb to give birth. Such a conception had never happened before. Such a conception will never happen again. It's a one-time miracle. Something powerful was happening, something important. The second miracle is the incarnation, the fleshliness of it, the skin and the bones of it, the hair and the teeth of it, the humanity of it. Jesus comes into the world to be like us, so that for the first time ever, people would actually be able to look in the face of God. As Sophia sang, Mary, did you know that when you kiss your son, you kiss the face of God? That had never happened before. That will never happen again. It's a one-time event. A great miracle. A huge miracle. But perhaps the greatest miracle of all in our text, the one I saved for last, is when the angel Gabriel delivered his message to Mary. The miracle? What's a miracle about all that? The miracle is Mary believed it. Mary believed it. She believed what the angel said, that she'd give birth to God. That's amazing. Her response, let it be. And again, her exact words, let it be to me according to your word. Those are words of faith. And those words don't flow off the tongue easily. We won't write a Christmas carol saying, let it be to me according to your word. And yet, Mary believed it. Mary trusted. Mary had faith. Now, we don't know how much Mary understood about all that. She didn't know all the theological implications of what it meant, that God coming into the world. She didn't grasp all that, that theological divine mystery. We don't know. St. Luke just simply records that Mary was troubled. Her heart was troubled. The greatly favored lady was troubled. There's many troubles this Christmas. Mary believed in the promises of God, but she was troubled. How many times has that happened to you? You believe in the promises of God. You trust in the Lord, and yet you're troubled. Any given situation in life can pop up. Any difficulty, especially this time of year during Christmas, and you find yourself greatly troubled. Something in life happens that doesn't make sense. Something happens in life that doesn't compute, and you know God has a plan. You know you have a promise, and yet you're greatly troubled. Yeah. Has that ever happened to you? Well, if so, you're in good company, because that's the way it was with Mary and that's the way it was with Joseph. She believed the promises and yet greatly troubled. Both can happen at the same time and it's perfectly fine. Mary had no way of knowing what was going to happen. She couldn't tell the future. She wanted the details. God wasn't going to give her the details. Instead, God gave her a promise that was supposed to be sufficient. But she wanted to know, well, how's it all going to play out? What's going to happen? What's it going to look like? God said, no details. No details. I'll give you a promise. We don't know how Mary responded to all that, but we do know her response. It was a response of great faith. Let it be. Again, can you say that? When life troubles you, can you say with great faith the words of Mary, let it be? More appropriately, let it be to me according to your word. When you lose a loved one suddenly, let it be. When you find out you have a few weeks left to live, let it be. When you find out that your relationships are falling apart, let it be. When you're lonely and depressed, and Christmas doesn't seem like a season of light, but a season of darkness, let it be. Let it be. Would you be able to say that? Well, I would be able to say that if I only knew that God had a plan. But God does have a plan. God does have a plan, and God had a plan for Mary. But God left Mary in the dark about how it all worked out. God left Mary in the dark about all the details, how everything was going to unfold. Because sometimes God's plan don't include laughter and joy. Sometimes God's plan includes sorrow and grief and pain. And sure enough, 30 years later, 33 years later, Mary watched her son on a cross. It was filled with sorrow and grief. God had a plan, but Mary didn't know how it all play out. We don't either. We don't know how our lives will play out either. Yet God has a plan, He has a purpose, He has a promise for you. However, many times, God's plans get pretty complicated. God's plans get kind of messy and ugly. We want to know why. We want to know the details. What's going on? Why is it happening? But God isn't going to provide them. Instead of details, God chooses to give us a promise. And from a human perspective, that's not enough. Seems insufficient. God's plan, God's purpose, God's promise for you. It might leave you feeling greatly troubled. Sometimes God's plan conflicts with your plan, and when that happens, when your plans collide, it leaves Christians feeling despondent. God doesn't care. He doesn't know what's going on. Why did He let this happen? It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to anybody. What's going on? Why is it happening? Does God care? All those questions fill your soul as you're greatly troubled. You believe the promises, you worship the Lord, but you're greatly troubled. And sure enough, how do you deal with all that? We'll take a moment to stop. Take a moment to remember the Lord comes to you with more than just a promise. He comes to you with a plan. And we hear the plan in the reassuring words that God gave to Mary. Greetings, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. It's the same similar message that the angels gave to the shepherds in their field. Fear not, behold, I bring good news of great joy that it will be for all the people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The Lord comes to you in flesh and blood. The Lord send a Savior to you. This is His salvation plan. And God has sent me to proclaim. Now, I am not the angel Gabriel. My message isn't near as grand. But the message is the same. Greetings, highly favored ones. The Lord is with you. And His name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And because God is with us, we are the body of Christ. And He has a plan for His body to raise it from the dead someday and fill it with glory. The Lord is with you. Are things tough? Are these tiresome times? Is your spirit troubled? Let it be. Or to use Mary's prayer, let it be to me according to your word. It's likely Mary had no idea what was being unfolded before her eyes and before her life. We don't know the details either. God doesn't give us the details of our lives. But He does give us a plan. And He gives us a promise. And He gives us a Savior. And we may not perfectly comprehend all the theological implications of the moment. Indeed, all those plans might leave you feeling troubled, but that's okay. Because this Jesus, this Son of Mary, is for you. He's with you, not against you. And He's given you His promises, especially this one. You have found favor with God. And He's given you a peace and a salvation and a promise that lasts forever. For nothing is impossible with God. And that's why, as a people of faith, we can claim, let it be. Let it be to me according to your word. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.